the San Jose Sharks. I'm not sure there's a GM who isn't afraid to make big moves more than Doug Wilson. He's done it his entire career since he took over as a GM of the Sharks. You look at the big names he has acquired from Joe Thornton. People forget, I know at the time it wasn't a big name, but he made the trade to move up to get Logan Couture, Eric Carlson, Brent Burns, go down the list, even Martin Jones, their netminder, and of course Evander Kane. They trade for Kane, they sign him. They trade for Carlson, they sign him, and today they move out Justin Braun. So they're wheeling around, they're trying to find money to get the guys they want. Timo Meier, LeBanc. But what about Joe Pavelski? Dan Rusinowski joins us, longtime voice of the San Jose Sharks. And Dan, the one thing the Sharks have done historically is they keep the guys that they want to keep at that time. And they really like Patrick Marleau, but they weren't going to offer him 3 years like the Maple Leafs. So at that stage of his career, they let him go. Joe Pavelski's 34. He's kind of the heartbeat of that team. Everybody saw what happened when he went down and kind of rallied the Sharks to win that game over Vegas. So what do you make of Pavelski? Are you confident that you think he'll be back in San Jose next year?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident of it. I really do think that that he definitely wants to stay in San Jose. He's made no bones about that. He's talked about the impact it's made on the life of his own career, but also the life of his family, his lovely wife, Sarah, and the kids, who just have a great setup and living in the Bay Area and being in the Silicon Valley. So you don't want all those things to come to an end. And thereby a cautionary tale from that Patrick Marleau departure that maybe might apply here, and that is the Sharks at the time, as I recall, offered Marleau 2 years, and he ended up taking three from Toronto. But look what's happening just as we get to the year number three for Patrick Marleau. Obviously, what's happening in Toronto is that there's the discussion about how much they owe him on that contract, and wouldn't it be nice to get rid of some of that money in order to take care of some of the other guys like Mitchell Marner on their team? Well, you've got a similar situation for a lot of players in their mid to late 30s, and the Sharks have been exceedingly loyal to all of their players. I can tell you that that had Patrick Marleau signed a two-year deal with the Sharks, he would have ended his career as a Shark with succeeding one-year contracts after that. So Joe Thornton is doing the same thing. The last couple of contracts he's signed have been one-year deals. So I think that's an interesting sidebar to talk about when considering where Pavelski is going to end up. And it's also got to be a position of strength for the Sharks because they take care of their people. They're great players that they've been through this team. And I think that Pavelski wants to play here and bring a Stanley Cup championship to San Jose. So I think all things considered, cautionary tale included, everything is going to work out.
Salary cap aside for Justin Braun, when you look at the play of Radim Simic, now I know he's a left defenseman, not a right defenseman like Braun, but you know his injury maybe didn't get talked about a lot from people outside of San Jose, but he was playing quite well before he got injured, Dan. You've seen a lot of defensemen in San Jose over the years. What do you like about Simic, and did his injury maybe impact people more than or maybe got overlooked more than it should have?
Well, let me put it to you this way. When I saw him getting helped off the ice, the vision of the Stanley Cup was dancing in front of my eyes way, way back when that injury occurred. That's how important this guy became to the team. And what's interesting is that the coaches didn't expect that. The general manager didn't necessarily expect that. The scouting staff knew that he was a great prospect and that he was somebody that they really liked, but they weren't sure how he was going to be at the NHL level. And then all of a sudden, he becomes Brent Burns' defensive partner. That's not an easy job all the time because you have to be able to read Burnsy very well, and they just worked exceedingly well together. I think one of the great things about Šimek is that he was really well coached, and I'm seeing this a lot from defensemen that come to the NHL from the Czech Republic and from Slovakia. They've got coaches there that tell them to stay on their side of the ice to make sure that they know where people are on the ice at any given moment, that when that you're coming down the ice against you, there's a two-on-one against you, you're aware of what kind of a shot is on the ice against you and what side of the ice he's on and who those players are, what their tendencies are. And so I think that as he got to know the NHL quite well, that along with a physical brand of hockey that Pete DeBoer really loves from all of his players, let alone one of his defensemen, I think made Radim Šimek a really valuable guy to the Sharks. So coming back from pretty serious knee surgery, he at least has some people to look up to, people like Joe Thornton, who did it a couple times, and several others. So I think that right now he's really making great progress to be back and ready to go for training camp, which is amazing. And I just think that he makes a big difference with the team because of that blend of smart positional play, the fact that he's been really well coached, and the fact that he brings that physical brand along with good positional hockey with a bit of a flair when he has the puck, too. It's just a nice combination to have, and it's somebody that probably made the deal of Justin Braun a little bit easier.
Dan Rusinowski joins us discussing the San Jose Sharks. Timo Meier, excellent RFA. He had 66 points, including 30 goals last year. Kevin LeBanc, 56 points. Those are some young RFAs they obviously want to sign. We mentioned Pavelski and Thornton. And in the salary cap world, there's just not enough money to go around. Is Donskoy and Nyquist two guys that Doug Wilson is just going to be hard-pressed to fit in and likely might test the free agent market?
Yeah, it's probable if you take a look at it. Nyquist certainly did some good things when he was a member of the Sharks in their playoff run when he was acquired at the trade deadline. And Donskoy has been a developed player. Even though he was drafted by Florida, he was really heavily scouted by Mike Yandel, who was one of the Sharks' outstanding scouts. Yandel was with Florida at the time that he was drafted. And when the Panthers didn't sign him, I think he was one of the key people that pushed to have the Sharks bring him in. And you know, here's a guy who scored in overtime in the Stanley Cup final for San Jose. So let's not make the decision to jettison any of these guys yet, but you have to figure that it's going to be quite a shoehorn that Doug Wilson has to fit all of these names in under contract, and it's likely that one or maybe two of them might not be able to come back. But there's still a lot of time left, and there are still other deals to be made. So before we make any definite pronouncements about the future of a guy like Jonas Donskoy, who struggled in scoring goals but then came through and had some really good, solid games near the end of the season and in the playoffs, and also Nyquist. We just have to see how that all plays out leading up to the draft this week.
And, Dan, Ryan Merkley, a really skilled young defenseman. The Sharks historically have been extremely patient with players. Do you think Merkley will get a really good look for that team, or are they going to be patient with him as well?
I think a lot of it depends. To be honest, you know, there's obviously no doubt that Ryan Merkley is a very, very skilled player. He's got good vision for the game. And when he's got the puck, he makes things happen. He can be a difference maker. Obviously, coming to training camp and hanging around difference makers like Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns is going to be a great experience for him. But you hit the nail on the head when it comes to the Sharks system. They really, really expect that there's going to be some time perhaps in the American Hockey League for some of these guys. It's rare that you'll have a player, especially defenseman, come in as a teenager and play full-time in the NHL. Last example I can think of like that was Marc-Edouard Vlasic, but he's a pretty special player. And even he, while ready for the NHL, took a couple of years before he became the elite defenseman that he is. So if conventional wisdom is right, you'd probably see, you know, if Merkley's going to get a couple of games at the NHL level, that could be possible. If I'm not mistaken, he's not eligible to play in the American Hockey League full-time yet because he's not old enough. So there's absolutely no harm and nothing wrong with having him continue to develop with his junior team to perhaps join the San Jose Barracuda at the end of that season in junior, whatever has happened. You know, they've had that occur the last couple of years with two forwards. Ivan Chekhovich, he's that kid who had that seven-point game in the Quebec League earlier this year, and Sasha Chmelyevskiy, who's playing in the OHL. So these are guys that have already gone through that and stepped into the AHL, played for Coach Roy Sommer and also Michael Chiasson. And these are guys that do a really good job at working with young players and getting them ready. I don't think there's anybody better than that than Roy Sommer. He's got over 130 guys that he's produced in the NHL, and they've all become really good players. So that's part of the Sharks system. They want to make sure that these guys get that experience, learn how to win at the AHL level, certainly. And as they show themselves, get the chance at the National Hockey League level so that when they actually get there and become a full-time player, they're better prepared and they're ready to really take that step forward to becoming a championship-level player.
And Dan, in the salary cap area, always going to need some young players on entry-level deals. Rourke Chartres is one of those players. When you look at him, you know, his skill set, it really seems to be injuries more so than anything that's holding him back. He did get into 13 games with the Sharks last season, was banged up, only played 26 with the Barracuda after playing only 28 the year before. If he's healthy, do you think he's ready to be an NHL player?
I have no doubt that Rourke Chartier can play in the NHL. I was really impressed by what I saw in his play this past season. He's worked on his faceoffs. He's a creative player, and he has a very good head for the game. I think that's sort of a category that the Sharks like to have. They like players with high hockey IQs, people that are creative on the ice and can take coaching, and he's all of those things. But as you've said, the injuries really have slowed him down. He's must be 23 years old now after a couple of years as a pro, and I just think that if he's not with the Sharks and if he doesn't return because they elect to give other people opportunities, he'd be obviously a valuable person for another player, acquisition by trade or whatever. But I think he can do it, and I think that they've shown a lot of patience with players. There's another defenseman on the Sharks roster, too, that's playing for the Barracuda, Jeremy Waugh, who was, I think, the first pick of the second round the year that he was drafted, and that was the same year that Werenski and Provorov got selected higher up. And he's regarded as being in that lower end of that same group of if he continues to develop, and yet he's had ACL surgeries in each of the last couple of years. So that's something that slowed him down, too. Those are two players, Chartier at center and also Waugh on defense, that have had their development slowed down by those injuries. And that's the only thing holding guys like that back.
Dan, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. It's going to be an interesting time. The offseason is never boring with the San Jose Sharks. And I'm not sure. Now it's more so maybe who they can re-sign. But with Doug Wilson there, you never know. He always seems to have a trade up his sleeve somewhere. So we'll watch with interest. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, you bet. And, of course, you know, you've got the accumulation of picks that are going on with the Braun trade, the moving of salary cap money. You know, Justin Braun's going to be a great player for the Flyers, too. So there's a lot of things to deal with. He's got a lot of cards up his sleeve, and I think that it's going to be an interesting, not only week, but a great summer for Sharks fans to be watching all of this drama. Thanks a lot.